Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Powerfully You on Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to co-hosts Linda and Dave McDowell. I'm Dave. And
I am Linda, and we are glad you're with us this evening.
We hope you've had a good Sunday. We have. It's been very, very nice. I got to spend all day with my wife. She's my best friend, so
Aww.
That works out really well for me. So let's tell a little story this morning, or
okay.
This afternoon. I'm more prepared than Linda for a change, which is unusual, but we still are flying without a net because we kind of like it.
We do like it.
But I was sitting out on the patio this morning, and this is an illustration, and I share it because I want folks to begin to realize God is talking to you. And I didn't realize it for years. I didn't see him in these things, and because I thought, oh, I'm just nuts. No, it's the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting out on the deck this morning, enjoying my coffee, looking at the trees and watching the birds, and this happens to me. Songs come to me in the morning. And lots, most of the time, they have a spiritual significance. This one came to me. Fairy tales can come true. It can happen to you if you're young at heart. And I thought about it, and I heard the Lord say, Dad, that's what's happening to you and Linda. That's why life is so good. It's because you're becoming young at heart. And then I realized what he was really saying. You must become his children into the kingdom of God. And that's what we're doing.
And it's their all, their childlike wonder of everything that is so, I think, just endearing to God.
And so Linda and I are having this wonderful time in our life where we are learning more and more how to surrender, how to just be in this moment. You know, the current new thing is mindful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, really, that's what we are. We're being mindful and enjoying our moment today and letting God worry about tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just saying, Lord, what do you want to do today? That's a child. That's the 5-year-old, 4-year-old wakes up on Saturday and says, Dad, what are we doing? Yeah, and that's kind of what it's starting to be for us.
It is, and it's so freeing, and that we'll be talking about some of that, but it's so freeing that you can give your cares. And it's like, you know, with the Bible, there are verses now, and I know that's happening to you, that really are coming alive to me, like, give your cares to the Lord. Then if you give them to him, then you don't have to hold on to the worry and all that.
And, you know, I want folks to not be discouraged or think we're way ahead of you.
Mm-mm.
Trust me, we're not. But as I walk, I begin to understand better at a deeper level. Linda and I talk about the onion being peeled away.
Mm-hmm.
And this morning was one of those. Where the Lord just peeled the onion away a little bit more and said, this is why you're feeling so centered. And comfortable and secure. It's because you're just trusting me more than you've ever trusted me before.
I will.
It's a process.
It is a process, and I feel like the older I get, the easier that is becoming. So some of this comes not necessarily in the age, not in the number, but age in your maturity as being, because you could be 30 and reach this place before I did at 58, which I would be like, wonderful for you. But I think for me, it is learning after years that I can so trust him. Without a doubt, I can trust him. He's come through for me over and over again.
Yeah. So that's a sort of a strange introduction to our
it
topic.
Is.
But it is sort of related. But what we really wanted to talk about, I've been thinking about this week, and Linda and I have talked about it, and we just want to talk about liberty and freedom, spiritual liberty and freedom. What does that mean? What does that look like? How do you enjoy it? Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, for me, it's been a process of unlearning because I was raised in a very conservative Protestant background. Southern Baptist. Please do not misunderstand it. I loved Southern Baptist. I still love Southern Baptist. And I wouldn't give anything for having been brought up in that environment because I learned so much Bible. But there are some things I learned, and that was a feeling of I never measured up. I didn't study enough. I didn't read my Bible as much. I didn't witness every day. I didn't spend an hour. There was always some new plateau that I felt like I didn't reach. And so I felt like I was unworthy of God's love and acceptance, and that there was something I had to do to earn it. And that was a bondage that I had to unlearn. I was saved at 7 years old. I believe that with all my heart. But I wasn't taught spiritual freedom. And I'm not blaming anybody because you got to have ears to hear. I'm sure somebody was trying to teach it. But what I really has happened is I have really began to say and ask myself and the Lord, Dave, do you or do you not believe what you say to me? And the question and the answer is no, I haven't. But I am beginning to believe it more and more. And with that belief comes freedom. Let me give just one example. Once saved, always saved. I believe that with all my heart. I hope I'm not stepping on any toes. I know not everybody agrees with that. But I am no longer under the bondage of sin. Now, that has all kind of connotations, but the one that is most favorite to me is I'm no longer have to worry about my salvation. It's a done deal.
That's freeing in itself. And then the other thing is, you know, if you're having a hard time with that, like the Roman boat, I think it was the Roman soldier, help my unbelief.
Right.
You know, that's a powerful prayer. Lord, help my unbelief. I've said it many times that if you're in a point where I'm not sure, you know, I haven't put my total trust in him, he is worthy and he will come through. Right. And the freedom is the freedom in Christ and the freedom that you have with the Father is the freedom. It's a freedom that you earn, but it's a freedom not really that you earn, but it's a freedom that you have from being a part of a family of God. And it's like being protected by your dad. You know, there is freedom in when you're in a family. Like, I can go so far, you know, I can do this because, you know, my dad's going to check on me or whatever. But there is a little bit of freedom from the security of being in a family. And that is the freedom that we have.
So you have to ask yourself, I have to ask myself, do I truly believe that I have been adopted with full rights and privileges, and my adopted father is the creator of the universe? Now, if I truly, truly believe that, I can relax. I can go, there's nothing that he's not capable of, and he's right there to help me. All I have to do is say, help.
If you think about, and I wasn't officially adopted, but I was raised by my grandparents who raised me as their child. And I have to say that sometimes as an adopted child, you are so loved and wanted because sometimes you've been chosen. And so there is something very special. And I feel like that's something to celebrate with God, you know, because he really wanted you. And you've been chosen.
So I asked our listeners, as I asked myself, and I still ask myself, because I want to remind myself, I'm not a nobody. I am a child of the King.
Of the universe.
Of the universe.
Not of a country or anything.
You know, and those rights and privileges are that I can claim that and I can be free from the sentence of sin, which is death, which is separation from God. I will never, ever, ever, ever again be separated from God. Now, I can choose to disobey, to rebel, and I can clog, I call it clogging the pipe, but the pipe's still there.
Yeah.
And it will never not be there.
Well, and just like the wayward son, you could go out and sow your wild oats, kind of, you know, all of the things that you thought that were so worldly, that were so great. We've all, when we've been younger, thought that, man, you know. But then you can sow them. And the great thing about our Father, and in, even in that story in the prodigal son, you know, there's a part of it, and he came to himself.
Yes.
And so when you come to yourself, you realize, as he did, hey, wait a minute.
Even the servants
in my Father's house have it well. And look at this. You know, I've sold my oats. I've spent all that I could spend. I've done everything. And I'm in the lowest of myself. I'm in the lowest realm of who I could be. I'm at the lowest point in my life. But I can come to myself and realize, wait a minute, all I got to do is go back home to the Father where
my favorite part of that story is the Father running.
Mm-hmm.
It brings tears to my. If you will turn to God, he will run to you.
And happily, like, oh, my God.
We're so ecstatic.
Yes.
That you have chosen to look in his direction,
mm-hmm,
and come home. So it's the freedom from the sentence,
mm-hmm,
of sin.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also the freedom from the bondage,
mm-hmm,
of sin. Linda and I, we kind of have a little difference in what calls sin nature and everything. But as a Christian, I am no longer sentenced to bondage of sin. I can turn. Now, I want people to understand this is not a fairy tale thing. It takes work. It takes practice. Sometimes God does come in and just take away an addiction. He can do that.
Well, and you know what? I think when I was a child, I loved both my grandparents. Don't get me wrong. I loved my grandmother, and I had a special place in her heart, and I loved my grandfather. So it was something about my granddad. But when you really love someone, you don't really want to do wrong because you don't want anything worse for me. I would rather him whip me than to see the disappointment in his eyes of me.
Right.
I would take 1,000 licks not to see that.
Right.
And I think as children, when you really love your Father, you just don't, what's the point of really disappointing or going back in that relationship? The relationship I have now with the Father, Abba, God, is so full and rich. I don't want to take those steps back. And it's the freedom of what I have now.
That you wouldn't give up for anything.
No.
You ever want to go back.
Mm-mm.
I don't want to go back to tomorrow because I'm fuller today.
And
I don't want to go back a year. I don't want to go back to my first love because, and we've talked about this, because the love I have for the Lord now is better. It's mature. It's deeper. It's wider.
It's that love when, as a parent, if you can, you know, I have adult children now. So our relationship has changed, and I love it because now we have conversations,
mm-hmm,
that challenge us both. And I feel like
that's a perfect illustration.
We, as children, as you mature in God, your conversations with him are fuller because he understands you reach, and you kind of, you gaining that understanding of him. So like I said before, I have the freedom to question things that I wouldn't have questioned because I'm held and safe in his arms. So just like my natural father, I feel like I can ask him anything. He is not threatened. I've always had, like I said before, a questioning nature. But God is not threatened by my question. As a matter of fact, I feel like he'll say, okay, you can go, but come on back, man. You got a little too far. Stay right here. And then we'll converse about that. You know, so there is freedom all the way around for me in the place that I feel I am now. And it's taken me a long time to get here.
Right. So, and there's another topic we're going to talk about one day that's in my back of my mind, and that is maturity in Christ. And what that means, how wonderful it is, but, you know, back to liberty, and that is liberty, is that we don't have to sin. We can choose not to. Sometimes it's hard.
Sometimes
we have that
hard.
Old man.
Mm-hmm.
I call it the sin nature. That is he is beaten. He has no rights unless we give him rights. But it's hard to change. As a human being, it's hard. But guess what, folks? God understands that. And I have the freedom to say, no, I am not going to do this by the power of God in me. I can choose not to. And then if I do fail, I can still go and say, Lord, I messed up. Help me. How can I deal with it? Is there a better? And he will do it. Sometimes, I mean, it's taken years for me to overcome things. And I've now learned that God has a schedule, and his schedule is I just have to cooperate. He will conform me to the image of his son by the renewing of my mind. And I am free from sin. And here's what the Lord started talking to me about this morning. What does that mean? That means I am free from insecurity. I am free from anxiety. I am free from worldly concerns and cares. But don't misunderstand, I'm a realistic guy. You know that.
We are in the world, but not of it.
Exactly. Yes. Does the car break down?
Yes.
Yes. Do I need to go to work and make a living? Yes. But ultimately, I trust God.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a freedom from all that yuck. Now, it takes practice. And the reason I keep saying this is I don't want a young Christian or any young person or new to their relationship with God to feel discouraged and go, well, I'm not there. Well, guess what, folks? I've been walking with the Lord for 53 years. And I've been surrendered for 37. And I'm still working through these things. And what I've learned is it's okay.
Well, it's a process and a path that we walk with the Lord. And, you know, as we go down that path, he's walking with us, beside us, near us. And, you know, sometimes you have to learn to trust him. And he's aware of that. You know, and I do feel for some people that trust just automatically comes because they trust and love easily. But I think for some, being in the world, for some of us, it's harder. But he's God. He understands that, and he, you know.
The Lord just gave me a really cool illustration. Have you ever seen a dad and one of his children in the pool?
Mm-hmm.
And the child's 3 years old. Got his little floaties on his arm. There's no way he's going to drown, but he doesn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's standing on the side of the pool, and his dad's going, jump, I'm right here. And he jumps, and he catches him, and he laughs, and he puts him back, and steps back a little bit, and says, jump again. And he jumps, and he catches him again. And he puts him back, and he steps back a little further, and he jumps. And this time, he hits the water, and he comes up and goes, I didn't drown. That's kind of the process.
It is.
You know, he's there until we can get, until we're stronger in our faith and we're stronger in our practice. The other thing that I want, and this is the liberty I really, I think, want to talk about more today than anything, because I think it's the one that snares us. And Paul says this in the Bible. He says, how did you let these people put you back under bondage? And what he's talking about is, why are you listening to these people who are telling you you didn't study enough, you didn't read enough, you didn't pray enough, you didn't give enough? That's bondage. Religion can be bondage.
Yeah, it can be.
Right?
It can be.
Tell your story on that.
Well, you know, I did, and I think some of our listeners may know that I came from Islam, and I probably have only been a Christian probably for the last 15, 16 years. I don't keep exact count, but somewhere in there. You know, and when I first became a Christian, for me, it was just so freeing to the point of, you know, when I, you know.
Well, I think you need to tell what it was as a Muslim woman.
As a Muslim woman, I was covered most of the time, not most of the time, all of the time, except for in my house. So, you know, and I know this sounds trivial, but even in the summertime, I was fully covered and did not wear sandals. Our sect was very strict about little things that most people and most women would not think anything about. So the first year I came from that, and that I could wear a dress and sandals. I know it sounds so trivial, but it was like, oh my God. This is just, oh my God. And nobody cares. And I'm not talking about, you know, I still feel like women, I don't feel like you need to cover like I covered in Islam, but I feel like you should dress modestly, but
right,
fashionably and all of that. So just the freedom of wearing a pair of sandals, can you imagine
that?
So
that's a very tactile freedom.
Mm-hmm.
What about spiritually? How do you feel going to Muslim religion to Christianity, Jesus Christ?
Well, I'm going to be honest, I did not feel free at first,
okay,
spiritually and mentally,
right,
because I was still suffering from a lot of loss. You know, separation from,
right,
a lot of my family members and all of that. I mean, the freedom was there, but when you're kind of, there was a little bit of grief and sadness,
sure,
with losing friendship.
So let me explain. I want people to understand,
yeah,
that when Linda said to her husband, to her family, to her Muslim sisters and brothers, I am a Christian, she was ostracized.
Immediately. Not immediately, but over time. Yeah, I was. And so there was that. But then it became, when I left, I felt like I was already, you know, out of the, so I left and came to Tennessee. And I don't know if I just, it was like my eyes opened, like, well, you know, I'm okay. And I can do these things that I never could do. And then spiritually, I started feeling freer. I think I still felt bondage because for about a year, I was trying to live between two worlds.
Right.
And so when I really...
Because you still have this background that
I
you
did.
Had to unlearn.
I had to unlearn.
Kind of like I had to unlearn some of my background.
Right. And still trying to do obligations. Even though I went to church, I still had to go to the mosque for those obligations with my husband or whatever. My ex-husband, and so when I came here, it was like, oh, my God, I was freer, and it's like all the information that I, you know, I was learning and opening up to Christianity, but it was just like it just all came to me, and it was like a first love, and the freedom of really what it meant to be in Christ opened up for me maybe a year after when I actually was separated totally from
So
everybody.
Wasn't that freedom that, hey, I'm accepted.
Mm-hmm.
I no longer have to do all these things to be accepted.
Mm-mm.
And that's, for me, that was when I began to understand that there was nothing. And this, I was 23, 25 before I got this. And my special mentor drilled this into me until I finally got, there's nothing I can do that will make God love me any more or any less.
Well, and that it didn't matter what I wore or what I ate or how, you know, not that I was going to act a crazy person, and I never did that, but it wasn't about that. It was really about relationship. And I really didn't get that and become free with that realization until I had been a Christian probably for about maybe a year or two.
Sure.
I think that's when it became real.
I was
to
a
me.
Christian for 16 years, boy.
Yeah.
Of course,
so,
I was 7 when I was, you know.
Yeah, but it was probably about 2 years. I'm gonna say, because I still was in the process.
You were so ready.
I was very ready.
And I don't want to get too off track because there's still parts of this I want to talk about. Make sure we get to. But I want also people want to understand, God pursued you. You knew he was pursuing you.
Mm-hmm.
You knew in your spirit something wasn't right.
Yeah.
Until you accepted him.
Mm-hmm.
And then it began to get right.
And I felt like he was growing me to be okay, to be separated. I feel like that's how he did Abraham. Abraham had to come out of his family, out of his people. And I feel like I went through a journey like that. Like, you know, I had to go through, okay, while I was still with all of those, and, you know, even my friends were my family. I mean, it becomes like everybody is your family. So even while I was with them and they knew I was a Christian, the relationship was backing off.
Right.
Backing off.
They really
backing.
Had to back off.
Right.
It wasn't they really didn't need it.
No.
It was that they were in the nation.
Right.
And they had to honor that.
Right.
And be true to that. And I don't judge them for that.
And I know. I mean, it kills some of them now. I mean, it wasn't the closeness that I had with some of the sisters. I mean, they really become like your sisters. It's such a close. But we all start backing up.
Sisters
in the nation. It was really, they were like family to me. I have to say,
sure.
Some of them I had known for quite a while. But it was like the Lord was preparing me. Like this relationship will dwindle down, and it did. And then he moved me out of the area. It was in stages. So as I look, and I just thought about that now, it was never like cut off totally. Boom, Linda, he prepared me for it.
He's kind.
Isn't he kind?
Yeah,
and
you
know, I definitely thought about
that.
It could have been a whole bunch worse. And then with each step, I realized the freedom I had in him and that he was going to be there with me through this. So, like, I wasn't being by myself.
Yeah, he wasn't going to run off. He wasn't going to throw up his hands that I've had it.
Yeah. No, he was with me, and there was a freedom in that. No matter what happens and the people that I may lose, I have you, Lord, and it's the most important thing.
He brought you some really special friends.
He brought me some beautiful...
That I've gotten to know some
Yeah,
of
beautiful
wow.
friends that I think the world of.
But let's get back to the bondage thing, because I think this is critical.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, and I don't think it's deliberate,
mm-hmm.
but I think the church... doctrine... teachings don't quite aren't explained well. I don't know how to put that. Let me give an example, because I had to do this. Here's one that just hit me in the last couple of years. This is bondage, folks. And there's some ego here. I'm going to really study the Bible because I want to be able to quote the scripture. I want to read first. John 1:9, and to say it, you know. And
the Lord, I think there's nothing wrong with that, but how are you going to use it?
That's
yes.
where I'm going.
Yeah.
And so the Lord said to me one time, and this was not too long ago,
mm-hmm.
why? I go, well, because I had to be honest and say, because it'll make me look spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll make me, you know, people will go, well, he really knows. He's Bible. He said, I don't care. I want you to know the Bible. But does it really matter if you can say it's 1 Corinthians 2:3?
Mm-hmm.
Or that you can just say it and mm-hmm. go, I live by this.
Mm-hmm.
And I began another
beautiful.
Phase. That was a bondage. Now, I put myself under that one, my own ego.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the bondage of, here's another example, and I don't want to pick on anybody. Some folks who may listen to this will understand this and know what I'm talking about. But I was in a church, and we had full-time clergy, and they began talking about how much they were fasting and how much they were praying. And the next thing you know, it became a competition. And then the lay people tried to keep up. And finally, I said this to the rector. I said, do you realize what you're doing? You are a full-time priest. You have time to spend 2 or 3 hours a day in prayer if you want to. 2 or 3 hours a day in Bible study. You can fast. I leave my house at 6 a.m. to go to work, and I don't get home till 7. And yet, you guys are saying this and putting this stuff out like we're supposed to measure up to that. You are putting me under bondage. And you know, he got it. He said, you know, Dave, you're absolutely right. This is not a competition. Comparison is our worst bondage issue.
And I feel like, you know, we have to kind of, I feel like the church has grown in stages, and sometimes I'm one of the ones that's more critical of the church, but I do feel like there was a time maybe in the 50s, 60s, and 70s that there was more bondage because we, you know,
yeah.
I feel like when you know better, you do better.
Sure.
I hate it, but sometimes we didn't really know better, so they, you know, especially, and I'm going to say my culture, I feel like they taught what they knew. And that sometimes they took scriptures, and I don't feel like it's just my culture, as I think. Sometimes I think pastors, especially in the South, you know, North too, actually, smaller churches, maybe you didn't go to seminary. So sometimes you didn't really, you took the scriptures literally. Literally you took it. And that's nobody's fault. You didn't know better. And so you put that on the people. But as people grew and learned and grew more in Christ, even generationally, and there's shifts in the spiritual realm of churches, I feel as people grew spiritually, even as a corporate body, as a church, you can see shifts and you can see more freedom come as generations progress.
I'm going to say the same thing. I'm going to say it a little differently because I think this works. Not that that doesn't. I believe that in the past, there was a formula that was espoused, that was given out. If you follow this formula, God will be pleased with you. And then I believe what happened is the Holy Spirit began to move people to go, it's not a formula, it's a person. It's a personal relationship. It's not a formula. You know, and first of all, second of all, whatever formula they give you, you're not going to measure up to anyway. So that's the hard part.
And I think sometimes it's better when, like, a lot of times I didn't have the church to really.
Mm-hmm. God separated you and worked with you.
Yeah, it was a person, one-on-one. So I didn't have some of it when I got in church, sometimes I would feel, I never felt like I had to let somebody put me in bondage. And maybe it's because I went to bigger churches. So there wasn't that one-on-one. And so I didn't feel that bondage from my lack of maturity maybe in Christ. So I feel like that I kind of gained that freedom early on.
I guess, again, and we keep coming back to, or at least I want to keep coming back.
Mm-hmm.
This is the main thing I want to get to folks today, is that you are free from qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do something to have God love you.
Mm-hmm.
He loves you whether you do or don't.
And you don't have to take on other people's definition or role or what they feel. Or you don't have to that, you just don't have to accept it.
Find out your place. I love Paul. This verse becomes more and more real to me every day. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Not, you know, don't try to be saved the way Linda's saved. Don't try to be saved the way John is saved. Be saved the way Dave is saved. God saves me. He has saved me. He is saving me. He will save me. And he saves me every day differently than he saves somebody else because I have different needs.
Right, and I feel like that is that's the build, that's the foundation of the relationship. Because basically you're working out your own relationship. And the fear is not the fear like, oh, my God. But it's the reverence and respect for God that you have in that relationship and the reverence and respect. That's when you develop. That's when you really have those moments where like, oh, I am free. You know, those moments come to you.
And I want to share with our listeners a couple real, really, really simple, good techniques to begin to experience this.
Linda, don't take those away. Try them if they work for you.
Yeah, try
them.
Don't think, you know, this is not a rule.
Right.
But it's an advice. It's a suggestion. But that's the whole point. In fact, you'll get this in a minute. Go someplace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible says go to your car. If that works for you, fine. For me, it's the deck. Make sure there's nobody else around. Close your eyes and just say, Lord, show me. And wait. And he will come to you. And he will plant ideas and thoughts. Now, it may take time, folks. It's a practice.
It is.
I hear him better today than I heard him a year ago. I keep practice. So don't get discouraged.
Just keep doing.
It will come. Linda calls it coffee with God.
Mm-hmm.
I call it holding hands with God. It's that, and sometimes it literally is in my mind. I just sit there and hold hands, and we don't even talk. We're just together.
And sometimes it's waiting and expectancy. He's never going to let you down. But it's also waiting and saying, you know, if I don't hear anything today, I just spend time with you, God.
Right.
You know, seeing it as a situation where it is a win-win either way. And be honest, there are some days when I'm in I also call it my quiet time, that my mind is, though I try to be focused, it is on, okay, I'm going to do this today, da-da-da-da-da.
Sure.
And sometimes I realize that, and I'll have to be like, Lord, just help me.
And even with that,
yeah.
Again, guys, Paul says to pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
I used to read that and go, what are you? You got to be kidding. I can't pray without ceasing. That's impossible. But I can be in an attitude of prayer. Guys, I work for a living. I'm sure most of you work for a living. We got to pay attention to what we're doing. I have to think about what I'm doing. I can't think about God, but he's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And at any moment, he can break into my thoughts, and I'm ready.
Well, he's there in the middle of the day. He's there always. But, you know, when you need, and it's been prayers I pray for you.
Yeah.
That's the freedom of, oh, my God, I have to get this project done. I'm at a standstill. The freedom in knowing that somehow, some kind of way,
it's going to be okay.
It's going to be all right. Okay. He's going to download. I'm going to get this or whatever. It's the freedom of that. Yeah. And it's still be okay.
That.
Yeah. And then sometimes he wants you to ask for help.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's that father relationship. You know, okay. Here's another example because I love it. Little boy, horse bike. Dad's right there next to him, going down the little sidewalk. He may even have his trainer wheels on. And Dad takes the trainer wheels off, but he's still right there. And then eventually Dad takes his hands off and says, sure, you got it. That's it, you know. But he's there. He's there. And if I go, you know, a quarter mile down the road and fall and scrape myself, he'll be there for that too. That's the kind of freedom. But I think the biggest thing I want to emphasize today, because, and maybe it's because I struggled with it so much, is comparison. and letting me put myself under bondage. Oh, I'm not as spiritual as that guy. Oh, I can, you know, wow, look at him. He led 5 people to the Lord last month, or you know, he fasted for 2 weeks, or, you know, and I just sometimes I didn't even have to look at anybody. I just put the rules on myself until God finally got through and said, you know who helped me? My mom helped me. And I want to share this because this really will set me free. I hope it will set you free. Do you know that as a Christian, saved, surrendered Christian, that you are walking in the Spirit every moment of every day unless you say no to God's yes and yes to God's no? So when I get up and I get in the car with my cup of coffee and I head down the highway, I am in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not out of that Spirit all day until God says, Dave, I want you to do something. I go, I'm not going to do that. Now, I am no longer walking in the Spirit. I have clogged the pipe, as I call it, and it's going to stay clogged until I go, Lord, I'm sorry. You're right. I'll do this. If you want me, I'll do this. And I'll do it with joy because you asked me to.
And even in instances when you, God is okay with us questioning. I'm not feeling secure about that, Lord, if you feel like he's given you something.
Yeah,
but, you know, yeah, don't allow, you know, because sometimes you may question, well, Lord, why am I? Because I question the Lord a lot. Why am I in this place? Do you hear me? Yes. Are you there?
Lord, I'm miserable in this job. Well, I'm staying here.
Yeah, and they have you there for a moment. And there is still freedom in Christ in that even in the midst of situations that you are having a difficult moment, the freedom from worry, from guilt, from all of that, that's your freedom. That's your freedom ticket. And so to access that is the beauty of the Lord. And I was just thinking about, you know, freedom, it's almost an oxymoron. Freedom with God is really the dependency on him. You don't attain that freedom till you're totally dependent and dependent on him. Yeah.
Till you say, Lord, here it is.
Yeah.
So you have to surrender to enjoy this freedom.
I feel like it is like a dependency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like saying, Lord, I admit I can't handle it. That's what I had to do. I said, Lord, I don't even want to try anymore. I'm so tired. I'm so guilty. I'm so bloody. I don't even want to try. So if anything gets better, you'll have to do it. That was the best prayer I had to pray.
And to me, I feel like he's lifted me out of a lot of that. I'm this worm. I'm no longer a worm. I mean,
I am a beautiful jewel
in his eye, and I can shine.
And even in your worst moment, do you know, and I know you do, but
yes.
I want our people to hear this. Even in your worst moment, you have the righteousness of Christ imputed unto you.
Which,
and God sees you that way.
And that is, I'm learning
that's
to
hard
see
to believe.
Myself.
It's hard. You know, as human beings, you know, we think, how can he possibly? Let me tell you, he does.
And it's a process for us to see. Because really, if we functioned out of how he saw us,
we would be wow. I want to get there. That's one, as you know, one of my prayers regularly is, God, give me kingdom eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see like you see. I want to see the angels around me. I want to see the enemy. I want to see how you look at somebody and love them. And I want to be like that, you know. But it's an interesting life.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have a program pretty soon about how to be like children.
Mm-hmm.
And how that'll set you even freer.
Well, if you accept your freedom and say, okay, I'm freeing you, Father, even if you're feeling a little shaky that you don't really feel it, I challenge you to take your freedom and accept that and now walk in it like an adventure.
And don't walk based on your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Walk based on your knowledge of the Word
mm-hmm.
and of your relationship with God, and your feelings will come alive.
They
your
will.
Feelings will
they
change.
Will.
You know, I used that my mentor, act like it's so,
mm-hmm.
even though it isn't so, and it will be so. And, you know, act like you believe, and keep acting like you believe, and one day you will have less doubt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you may still have a little bit.
But the yeah. doubt and the worry, you know, because you, in the world's eyes, you could never be enough.
Right.
I'm too this, I'm too that, I'm not enough this, I'm not enough
I'm
that.
Tall enough, I'm not
yeah. But in God's eye, you're the jewel. You are the priceless jewel. So if you functioned out of the knowledge of being the priceless jewel that you are, you're more than enough.
Your self esteem.
Yeah.
Will not change your willingness to be a servant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't shared this on the show, but I've shared it with others. I took karate in high school. The best thing that it did for me is let me walk away from the fight. Because I had nothing to prove. That's kind of like this. I had nothing to prove anymore. I am accepted. And if I never open my Bible again for the rest of my life, I'm still accepted.
But if I love.
Right.
And see, you know, love like you love. And try to really just make Jesus my way sure. If I try to imitate you, then I'll walk in love and compassion and freedom and all of that.
We've talked about how the Word, for me, the Word is, I'm going through a time, and
mm-hmm.
I go through these seasons. It's just how God, right now I have experienced a sensitivity that I don't always experience to the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord was showing me in the last couple of days about the love chapter. And it says, even though we speak with the, you know, I can't remember.
Founding of the.
You know, and we're all this,
yeah.
and we're all that. If we do not have love, it is a stuff. And I got it. What it says is you're doing all those things for the wrong reason. If you're not doing them in love, if I'm not preaching if I'm a preacher, if I'm not teaching if I'm a teacher, if I'm not exhorting if I'm an exhorter in love, it doesn't matter how good I am at it.
And it's like these trust, love, these are like keys to your freedom. Like if we had a key ring,
yes.
we've talked about some of these trust, love, you know, just compassion for yourself almost to the point of these will build the freedom that you have in Christ, and you'll start seeing it, owning it, and living it.
Yeah. This is where I wish all our listeners were sitting here at this table.
Mm-hmm.
And we go, do you get that? Okay, let's talk some more. You know, and I just want to put my arms around them, and, you know, I almost want to cry because I know how I struggle with this. And I just want to say, you are in love. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to do anything but be who you are. God loves you. And I know it's trite. We've all heard it. You know, we see the little sticker, God loves you. But when you can own that.
There's freedom.
Wow.
There's freedom and liberty.
I know I have to measure up to John or Cindy or Bill or whatever, or the preacher, and I don't have to be under that bondage. So you got to do more. You're not doing enough. You know, let go.
And I feel like enjoy the liberty and pride.
And you know what will happen is God will lead you to your call. And when you find your calling, it won't be work.
Yeah.
It'll be something you like doing. Linda's calling, she has several, and she loves her calling. Does she get tired?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Is it frustrating? Yes.
Overwhelming
but,
sometimes, but I love
to
stay with you.
She knows that is her calling. And therefore, and she wants to do it. I'm learning that.
Yeah.
I'm still working and kind of, really, you know, I'm not an exhorter. Yeah,
yep.
That's part of it. I'm
good.
And I love when I have the opportunity, especially if it's one-on-one or maybe one-on-two, to encourage somebody and say, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? Man, I can feel the Spirit. I walk away better than, more blessed than the person I was talking to. That's my call. That's how I know it's my call, because I love doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get to do enough of it. Call us. I want to talk to you. I want to encourage you. You know, because that's my call. And you will find it. And if you haven't found it,
you know what?
Relax.
You're calling. I spent years like, Lord, what's my calling? What's my calling? And now it's just
and you
like.
You used to think it was you were going to be a pastor, you're going to be a big leader.
I did.
And now,
I don't feel like that was it at all, that my gift is encouraging and helping and empowering and telling people.
You have the gift of healing.
And I feel like that too, but I just feel like really I learned that the gifts open up when I realize that I'm a child of God and to be his advocate.
Yourself, and he starts ministering to you,
yeah,
through you, to others. And man,
and they just pour out. I really don't feel like he's bubbling me over with gifts that I didn't even know I had.
Right.
And I guess the biggest
gift,
yeah, the gift of service would be what the big umbrella of it, but it's so many things under that gift of service.
And he's brought you the gift of discernment, and he's brought you the gift of healing, and but it started with you finding out where to start.
Yeah, and it took me a long time to figure out what. But you know what? It's just when I opened up and said, Lord, you know, work through me, I don't know.
Can
but,
you let go?
Yeah, I'm willing to do whatever you ask of me.
We have
it just, yeah, it just opened up. And I think that I'm not, he's no respecter of person.
Amen.
So
yeah.
That you, the gifts I have, you probably have multiple and more than you realize.
You may not have experienced them because you haven't tried them yet.
Yeah.
I am so fortunate that a mentor of mine said, try it.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, really? He said, yeah. He said, oh, so you fail.
Mm-hmm.
So you give somebody your word and it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the end of the world. God will take care of them. God will watch out for them.
Mm-hmm.
He'll protect them. You know, don't be frivolous. If you don't have a word, don't make one up. But if you think you have a word for somebody, share it. And I started practicing, and I go, wow, I did have a word for that guy.
And, you know, sometimes it's that burning thing inside you, like it's this burning in you, like, I feel like I need to tell you this. You get that. Work
tell
with
them.
It. Try it. And a lot of times you will find they'll be like, oh, my God, how'd you know that?
Yeah.
You know, so go ahead and experiment. So sometimes you're going to fall on your face. Oh, maybe somebody might say, well,
maybe
that's
we
what
need
I got.
To do a show on the gifts of the Spirit.
We might. We might. It's funny how other things unlock as we begin, but I'm going to, as we are winding down, I just want to say, enjoy your freedom and liberty in Christ. It is wow.
Relax.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, you don't have to go 90 miles an hour every day.
Mm-mm.
I'm not saying, you know, please, you know, my mentor, again, took a lot of heat in a lot of churches because he taught grace. And he said, it's Christ us plus nothing. It's not Christ plus Bible study. It's not Christ plus witnessing. It's not Christ plus. It, Jesus is all you need. And you don't have to do any more than accept.
Well, the scriptures say, if I be lifted up,
and
I'll draw all men unto me. So it is no plus with that.
And so what people would say to him is, well, then you just believe people don't have to do anything and they can just do whatever they want. And he said, no, you don't understand grace. Grace says, I don't have to do anything. Now I want to love the Lord. Now I want to serve Him. It's not a criteria. It's I want to please Him. I want Him to be pleased with me, and He is, even if I don't. But now I want to tell people, because it makes him happy, makes me happy, makes him happy. You know, I'm not doing it because he's going to be mad at me if I don't. That's the difference.
Well, and again, I just, you know, enjoy your liberty and don't let other people, situations, groups try to cloak you with.
You said it last week, the cloak of guilt. Was it cloak of guilt?
The cloak of guilt. Don't accept that. You don't have to, and just be free. It's a beautiful, wonderful life.
It is. And we are beginning, we are, Linda and I, we've talked about this a lot over the last 6 months of just, wow, and it just keeps getting better. You know, and it's because we're becoming like children. We are worrying less and rejoicing more. And it's pretty simple.
And it's, like you said it before, it's the same thing. We still have to go to work.
Yep.
We still, this last week,
got bills to pay.
A car gets broken down, and we're like, okay, how are we? Okay, we fixed it. Okay, we handled that hurdle. So all the things are still happening. We just don't get all perplexed as much as we used to. You know, not that we've gotten this perfect, but it's not. We just don't get as all worked up as we used to.
We are free because we trust. Like you said, there's kind of like these little parts that
mm-hmm.
make up this freedom thing, and it's trust and there is a holy discipline.
Mm-hmm.
There is a holy discipline. Not a secular discipline.
And it's compassion with yourself.
Right. Give your, quit beating the dog out of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I used to do. And I still can do it. Oh, what a worm is me. Well, yeah, you're capable of being a worm, but you're not a worm.
And really, sometimes it's just our choice not to take that. You
right.
know,
just
you don't.
Say, nope.
Not today.
Not going.
Not
God bless me.
Yes,
he's not mad
good.
At me.
No,
I'm not mad at myself.
Right.
I'm going to say sorry, Lord. Forgive
mm-hmm.
me.
And move on.
And move on. All right. Let's close. I'm gonna stream in. Any closing comments you want to add?
Mm-hmm.
Me either. I think God said
good
enough.
Good enough. Yeah.
And we'll practice our own freedom.
Yeah. That this is the best.
We're good. Except for prayer.
Yeah.
Now, do you want to pray this week?
I'll pray this week. Well, Father God, once again, we thank you that you've used us and you've talked through us. Because I'm going to tell you, sometimes I don't have the words to speak, but you bring it to us. And that's the beauty of our relationship with you. Thank you. Lord, set the captives free as you said you were in your word. We just say, set the captives free. Free from worry, guilt, transgressions. Lord, we are no longer worms, but we are your children. The gift and the freedom of our of life is ours if we just take hold of your hand. So, Lord, today, allow people to, the captives are free, and they take in hold of your hand. We are claiming that in the spirit. We know that it happened, and we say amen and hallelujah.
Amen.
Be blessed.
Can I add something?
Yes.
Because I meant to bring this into this discussion. Isaiah said, I come to set the captives free. I heal the lame, et cetera, et cetera. I come. And Jesus stood in the synagogue and read that verse and said, today this is true. He came to set us free.
And in the name of Jesus,
amen.
Again today, today, this is true.
Okay. Now we're close.
Yeah.
Bye, folks.
Bye.